Hello and welcome to episode 37 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is May 1st, 2017. May Day for all of us libertarians out there. Big holiday for us.
Oh yeah. Yes.
But I am Rollo McFlugel, and with me is Slappy Jones too, and we are both of McFlugel.com. The show notes page for this episode is McFlugel.com/37. So with that, I'll hand it over to Slappy, and he's going to introduce our topic for this episode.
Yeah, thank you, Rollo. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Today, we're going to talk about wages and jobs. Where do they come from? How are they determined? We hear people all the time, I haven't had a raise in 3 years, or my boss doesn't pay me enough, or, yeah, actually, I never really do hear I'm overpaid. It's very rare. But people don't know where they come from. They think it's a gift from the employer. If you tried to ask someone, how is your wage set? They say, my boss pays me. So Rollo, anyway, has a story that goes along with this in a way. And we'll start there. Rollo, tell your story.
Sure. So yesterday, a buddy of mine and I went to a bar nearby. And we're sitting there. And all of a sudden, a guy walks in, sits next to me. And my friend goes, hey, that's the owner of the restaurant that we go to a lot. Kind of the other bar that we go to that's near me. And so we start talking to the guy, and you know, it ends up being, we're planning on being at the bar for maybe an hour or two, and end up being there for 4 hours talking.
Typical Rob.
Yeah, obviously. And I'm talking to a guy for about 3 hours, you know, great guy, bought us a bunch of drinks too. It was very nice of him. But we end up talking about his restaurant a lot because it's a very successful restaurant. It's a Mexican restaurant. He's actually from Mexico. He's an immigrant. Self-made man, started in Chicago, working in the kitchen washing dishes, and didn't like it, and he ended up working his way up, all the way to owning a restaurant, and actually, he just sold his part of the ownership in another restaurant nearby. But he's a very successful, self-made man who's an immigrant who didn't speak a lick of English when he first came over. So it's a really interesting story. But as we were talking to him, one of the themes he kept bringing up was that he was saying that, man, people don't like to work anymore. There aren't any hard workers. And then he also said that he pays his employees better than the competition. And he actually specifically said that when he talks to his accountant, she always tells him, you overpay your employees, especially the kitchen workers. And he says, well, I'm not overpaying them. If I didn't pay them what I'm paying them, then I wouldn't be able to hold on to them. And there's no one else out there. And she would say, oh, you can just replace them. He goes, no, I can't. I can't replace these people. I can't get anyone else as good as them. So I got to pay them better than the competition.
And so one forces him to pay higher than minimum wage.
Right.
And we're talking about what could be a minimum wage job, right?
I suppose. I never worked
cleaning dishes. Yeah, I've never cleaned. I've served, but I never cleaned dishes. I'm sure it's really unskilled labor.
Right. Well, he was talking more specifically about the cooks.
Okay.
But still, I mean, he mentioned how much they get paid, and it sounded pretty good. I mean, it was actually more than I got paid in my first job, and I
there you go.
And I have a degree in mechanical engineering, so. But he, I know. Well,
excuse me.
Yeah. Ooh. But as he was talking throughout the conversation, you could tell that, you know, he actually cared about his employees, and he knew about their lives. And it's a Mexican restaurant. He's a Mexican, so kind of naturally he employs a lot of Mexicans, a lot of immigrants, and so he understands how tough it is for them, and a couple of them are working several jobs. They're, you know, single parents, some of them, but he's still, you know, he runs a successful business, and you can tell. And here's the thing about it. He pays his employees well, but his prices on his food and everything are still reasonable. And so how does that work? You want to give a guess there, Slappy?
Oh, what are his margins?
I don't know, but the thing is, he usually keeps the restaurant and bar pretty filled up. So that helps. I mean, when you do a good job in your business, do things the right way,
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have good food, good service, and good prices, that usually has people come. If it's too full, maybe he should raise his prices.
Yeah, perhaps. But it's funny because my friends and I go there a lot, and we see the same people there all the time. So he's got, I mean, when you can get the locals there.
It's got a bunch of regulars.
Right. You got your regulars, and that's really the proof, the social proof that you need to say, like, hey, this is a good place. And also, since it's a Mexican restaurant, there's a lot of Mexicans that go there. So that's like, shows that it's kind of authentic.
Right.
But when I get back to the, you know, why an employer pays his employees.
Right. So, like, I mean, let's talk about minimum wage.
Sure.
Minimum wage really is zero. You don't have to work, I guess. But a minimum wage, whatever the federal minimum wage is right now, they're forcing people to pay their employees at least that much. Why? And you kind of mentioned it already, but why would he go over that? If all we hear is they need to make, you know, the business owner makes as much money as he can and wants to keep costs down. Well, labor wages are certainly a cost. He's allowed to pay them less. Why doesn't he?
Well, they add value to his business.
Right.
And if he didn't pay them what he believed they were worth, then they would go someplace else.
He believes he would hire someone of lesser value.
Right.
You know, not moral value, but.
And he actually mentioned one of his, I think it was one of the cooks, who got another job offer and you know, went up to him and said, hey, look, I got another job. And he said, where are they paying you? And he told him, he said, oh, I'll pay you more. And he paid him more and he ended up staying.
No, I actually had a similar story like that. The case manager, who I had a former job I had, a different company, same industry, same job, but just different company. She was excellent case manager. Our clients, our customers loved her, but she had a long commute to work and was going through a tough time with her family and decided to quit because she said the drive's just too, it's just too much. And I don't know what they increased her salary to, but everyone there wanted to keep her because we couldn't afford to lose her. So they paid her more and she ended up staying and she still works there. And that was 2007, 7 years ago.
Yeah, we had someone, I mean, at the company I work at, we have certain maternity leave rules. And one of the engineers I worked with, she got pregnant and had to, you know, went out on maternity leave for a little bit. And in order to keep her there, they offered her to work from home for a while and stay at home a little bit longer. And really, yeah, she had left the company before and they brought her back and paid her really, really well. So it goes to show if you're good to a company, they're going to make sure. I mean, even my first job, not to pat myself on the back, but my first job, I know there's so many things. I have a degree in engineering.
He refused to call this the Slappy and Rallo show. It had to be the Rallo and Slappy show.
I know. There were fist fights over it, and I obviously won that since
of course.
It's the Rallo and Slappy show.
Yeah.
Oh, if you guys only saw the size difference. But
well, but anyway, let's get back on track here. So
no, but I mean, it happened to me when I left my first company. You know, the owner of the company came up and said, "What's it going to take for you to stay?" And it wasn't a situation where it was about the money. And that's what I told him, and he respected that decision. But I mean, if you can prove that you create value, then you're going to stay. And the other thing is, like, let's strip it down to a simple example. Me doing like manual labor outside or something, and you know, with just hand tools or something, I can be fairly productive. But if you give me a tractor, then I can be a whole lot more productive. If I know how to use the tractor, then I have a certain skill.
Are you talking about a specific tractor or any tractor?
Yeah, a specific tractor, a Lowboy 154 that's sitting in my garage.
Okay,
just
gotcha.
Throwing that out.
No, well, one thing I wanted to say, just to get back on track again, as you got your $20 for this week, you got it in. If you want to know if you're underpaid, tell your boss you're going to quit. Right. It's a risky decision. And it could be the case that their margins are just so tight they can't pay you more. They want to keep you, they'll do anything, but Tell them you're looking for another job and see if you get offered more money. Then you'll know if you're underpaid, because everyone thinks they're underpaid. But if you are, a company will do what they can to keep you if your value is there, if you're truly underpaid. If you're overpaid, they'll probably just say, okay, good luck to you.
Absolutely. And another thing, not to jump off the subject we're on, but it's kind of similar vein. He also mentioned about his cooks that he employs. And he said that, you know, he mostly employs women as the cooks. And he said, was it because he can offer them 77 cents on the dollar or something? No, it was because he actually said they're cleaner than men. And so I didn't even think about that for a while until later today when I was thinking about what we're going to talk about. And I think if that were the other way around, I like to hire men over the women for XYZ reason, people would lose their minds. And when he said that to me, I just kind of thought it was funny because, yeah, women tend to be a little cleaner than men. But it's another thing where that adds value to his business. He doesn't have to pay someone maybe that extra hour or two to clean up in the kitchen or something, because the cooks just keep it clean because that's what they like. And so it's a situation where if you're a certain way, and maybe he's stereotyping, maybe the, you know, women, I don't know, but he's a businessman and he's making business decisions. I'm sure that he's right about women tend to be a little cleaner than men.
Well, the proof is whether he continues to stay open.
Right. And he is.
Yeah. So one more thing while we're talking about jobs and wages. This is always something that, I mean, it doesn't bother me. It's not like when someone says, my job, I have a problem. But people always talk about their jobs. But really, is it your job? Because you have an entrepreneur who puts out his capital and starts a business. And then he wants to trade your labor for his money in order to make more money, make money. So he's the property owner. He put the capital out there. He offered the position. It's his job, and he is trading your labor for that. It's your labor that you're selling to him. But somehow people think they have a right to a job, or this guy just fired people, or we had layoffs, and layoffs mean the company's evil because these people lost their jobs. And if, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm happy when people lose their jobs. Of course, that's terrible. But it really isn't their job. It's the business owner's job that he is offering to his employees, and they can choose to work there, and he can choose to let them go. And I know it's bad, and I know it's, well, bad in a sense of as a hardship, not in a moral bad, but it's always something that always kind of rubbed me the wrong way when you read about these evil CEOs who make X money and they laid people off. Well, that's their right. They can do that. And if we don't like that they're doing that, we cannot go there, or we can choose to not go there. But just a side point while we're talking about jobs and labor.
Right. And maybe the CEO, people complain like, oh, he laid a bunch of people off when he still made X amount of money. Well, maybe, and again, it's not good to see people laid off. It's, my heart aches, obviously, for those people when it happens to them. But maybe that saved the company.
It could have. Maybe the company would have went out of business and they all would have lost their job.
Right. So, yeah, the guy's going to get paid for making those decisions and making those good decisions. At the same time, I mean, I know from working at an oil refinery, it's a little bit escalated compared to a lot of other businesses, maybe, that the higher up you go, the more responsibility you have in any company. And when you're a manager, you're responsible for all your employees. And whether they make the right decisions or not, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to answer to it if you're the manager, because they're under you. And even if it's some idiot that you never hired and he just does this dumb little thing, at the end of the day, it's your responsibility. So I know that would be, for me right now, to think about having all that responsibility. I don't know how they sleep at night sometimes.
Yeah, it's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure.
Right.
But they get compensated for it.
Absolutely. That's where I was going with it, is that, yeah, they absolutely, at least where I work, I can say that, the upper level management, they absolutely deserve the money they get paid. for all the stress that they have to deal with, that, hey, at any, you know, when something goes wrong, it's, you know, I have a couple units that I'm responsible for on the refinery, and maybe when something goes wrong, I got to go in on the weekend or something, or I got to answer some phone calls or whatever. Those guys, it's anything goes wrong, they're getting phone calls. They got to come in on the weekends. You know, they got to be responsible for all the safety and well-being and health of all the people there. It's really, again, it's easy to sit there and complain about how much money someone gets paid, and they just, maybe they get these great benefits and everything. But, you know, I'm not sure most people would want to have to deal with that level of responsibility, because it is a lot.
Yeah, and the people who are working the lower paying jobs, you know, if they are underpaid, or if they had another option that was better, they should go take it. If they're not, if they don't have another option that's better, they should be happy they are able to do what they can. And if they're unhappy, they should work to improve themselves, like we talked about earlier. A good employee, if a good employee wants to leave, the employer, if they want to keep them, will offer a little something else, whether it's days off or money or whatever the case is, which I guess all are technically the same thing.
Sure. And what the example of this restaurant owner that we're talking about is that most people think that it's like a cat and mouse game, and, or, you know, a card game, and the employer has the deck stacked in his favor or something. But this shows that it's really kind of the opposite, that if you're a good employee and you have skills and abilities, that, you know, you can kind of demand what you get paid and be the person that says, hey, I'm actually going to leave because this other guy is going to pay me more, and the employer doesn't want to leave you, so they're going to say, oh, what can it take for me to keep you? So,
yeah, well, it's a voluntary exchange, just like anything else.
Right.
Selling your labor, selling your time, and he's buying it, just like buying a candy bar.
Absolutely.
Both sides benefit, otherwise it wouldn't happen.
Right. So be sure to, in any job, be sure to make yourself valuable.
Yep.
Be an asset.
Stand out. Stand out from your peers. Be an asset.
Yep.
But anyway, do you have a free market story?
I do. Do you have one that you want to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Go for
so it. it's kind of a simple one, but it was appreciative of me, or I appreciated the fact that it happened. So I built it's the springtime and time to get the gardens going. So I built a couple raised bed gardens, and I'm kind of doing some landscaping and everything. And so around, I have four rectangular raised beds that I built, and I wanted to mulch around it. So before I put the mulch over top of it, I wanted to make sure that grass and all sorts of other plants weren't going to grow underneath. So I went on Amazon and bought some of that weed barrier stuff that I laid down. And so I, you know, bought two rolls of it. Didn't really know how much I needed. And it ended up being way too little. So I went online. I did most of that work on Saturday. Worked until I ran out of stuff. And went on Amazon again and put it in an order, and the next day it got delivered, four rolls of it. So it just, and for free, because I have Amazon Prime, so I didn't have to pay for shipping, and it delivered next day. It was incredible. Actually, did it tonight. Finished most of the laying that around the garden.
Amazon Prime's pretty cool.
But it's just something that we just take for granted. That
you couldn't have done, I don't know, definitely 10 years ago, right? I mean, when did Amazon Prime come out? But
yeah,
I guess you could do overnight shipping, but
it costs you an arm and a leg.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And if you use Amazon Prime, no, you pay for Amazon Prime.
But it's cheap. I mean, it's paid for itself so many times over for me.
And they don't limit how many times you can use it.
Right. And they coordinate. They have to figure out warehouses in certain geographical locations around the country that make sense of how we stock this in this place to make sure that we're. It's absolutely incredible, and it's something we don't even think about. And that's the beauty of the market, because most of the things that we take advantage of on a day-to-day basis, we don't have to think about. where it's right. it's like a logistical miracle that all this stuff happens. And there's no one planning it. There's no one saying, oh, we need X amount of pallets of this weed barrier in this location.
Oh, libertarians and your weed.
No, I'm
but
fighting.
It just happens. Yeah. It gets there. You know, it's pretty incredible when you really see it happen. And there's all different kinds of vendors on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like there's the Amazon. I mean, maybe there is an Amazon store, but all this stuff isn't in one spot.
Right. So, I don't know. With that, I guess we can kind of wrap it up. Again, thanks for listening. The show notes page for this episode is mcflugel.com/37. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. There are links to subscribing to us on iTunes and Stitcher. You can also listen to the podcast on YouTube. And please subscribe to our email list, which can be found on the website, and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, think we're wrong, think we're right, and want to tell us about it, please let us know.
Yeah, so you have a lot of homework. Get to it. And thanks for listening. And share with your friends who are, you know, maybe you have a discussion with someone about one of these topics. Send them on over. We like to talk to the beginners, and we like to debate people who disagree with us. So if you want to, like Rallo said, drop a comment, we'll reply.
Yeah, like this episode was maybe a little bit more of a simpler topic, but, you know, it's good to preach to the choir. Maybe we brought up something that someone who's more of a hardcore libertarian never thought about, and maybe we have some...
Could be
more,
an idea you never heard before.
Right, and maybe we have some beginners on here that, you know, never really thought about this, so it's all good. So, again, thank you for listening. We very much appreciate all the listens we get and all the shares, so... We'll see you next week.
Have a good night. Peace.